What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, decided not to go to Six Flags today. The weather was a little weird. It could rain, could not. So I just ended up hanging out by the pool today anyways. But decided to do a show because why the hell not? Because guess what? Football season begins this week. So we will be talking real legitimate games coming up on Wednesday and Thursday. But let's go ahead and start off with the Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings for this week because we do have us a new number one. I kind of went back and forth. Did I want to keep the Brewers at number one or did I want to put the Atlanta Braves at number one? And I went ahead and put the Atlanta Braves at number one simply because they're doing better this week over the Brewers. But I mean, honestly, you could still make a debate for the Brewers. But I went ahead and put the Braves at number one this week. Overall season record, 85-58. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they split the series with the Washington Nationals and then took the series over their division rival, Philadelphia Phillies. And it's a big deal because the Braves and the Phillies are going to be playing each other quite a bit down the stretch here right before the playoffs begin. So both of these teams really need to beat each other because, I mean, right now the Braves have led their division this entire way so far. And the Phillies keep lurking, but every time the Phillies get there, it just does not work out for them. And the Braves went ahead and took the series over the weekend. Acuña has been on fire. Riley had a great weekend. Sale has been on fire all season long. Albies has had a great season. I mean, this team is really putting it together at the right time. And like I said, they keep pulling away. Every time the Phillies just get close enough to make it look like they are going to at least make the division a little competitive, the Braves just get going on a winning streak, and they just keep it moving. And actually, it feels to me the Braves are playing the best baseball right now, which is why I put them above the Brewers, but you could still make a debate for the Brewers. Then heading into number two on my Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings, it is the Milwaukee Brewers. I didn't lower them too far. Like I said, I could have put them at one, but I just went ahead and pushed them back because their 10-game record is 5-5, whereas the Braves are 7-3. Kind of feel like the Braves are playing a little bit better baseball right now, and that's what power rankings are about, what's currently going on right now. But the Brewers are 88-56 on the season, so they're almost about to hit that 90 wins mark. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Chicago Cubs, but lost the series to the Cincinnati Reds. That was another reason why I kind of put them below the Braves this week because, I mean, the Reds suck. But even so, I mean, Bauer had a great, he's had a great season, but he had a great weekend. He had a couple home runs over the weekend. And even so, Jake Mizorowski, he actually had another terrible game over the weekend. So he's had two really bad games in a row. Not what you want to see heading into the playoffs, but it's kind of to be expected at the same time. I mean, when you have such a great season, your terrible games are going to stand out at some point. But even so, I mean, Brewers look like a great team right now. I'm actually really starting to believe in them as a legit World Series team. I've been questioning it a lot, but when you just really look at this team, they don't really have a lot of weaknesses, and they just play really great baseball. So I continue to reiterate, the National League is going to be bananas once we hit playoff time. Then at number three on my Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings of the Los Angeles Dodgers, overall record of 86-57. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the St. Louis Cardinals, but took the series over the Washington Nationals. It does not look like Shohei Ohtani's going to pitch at all the regular season, maybe in the playoffs, but definitely not in the regular season. There was actually talk that he might actually go on the injured list overall, even with batting, but it looks like he's going to come back at some point this week. So, you can really tell this, him being out of the lineup has been a big deal. Mookie Betts finally kind of got out of his slump. He's been having a real up and down season, but he's really been in a terrible slump up until this past weekend. But even so, the Dodgers, they've really been overcoming it. I mean, Glasnow's, since he's come off the injured list, he's been playing really solid baseball, pitching very well, and seems to be getting stronger with each and every start. So I still don't really worry about the Dodgers, even though they're not playing that great of baseball. But the Ohtani injury, it's definitely something to watch because that's definitely something that could be an issue once they hit the playoffs because the Dodgers have been able to overcome every injury that's come their way, but Shohei Ohtani is definitely a game changer for them. And I mean, even during their slump, Ohtani's been hitting like he normally does. He's been hitting out of the park. He's been doing what he do, but the rest of the team hasn't done shit around him. So it's been interesting to see how they've played without him. I mean, they got beat bad by the Cardinals last week, but then came back with a sweep over the Nationals over the weekend. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Tampa Bay Rays. Overall record of 85-58, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. They're still in first place in the American League, and they are still in first place in the division. This past week, they split the series with the New York Mets, and then they also split the series with the Texas Rangers. Some bad news for them is that Shane McClanahan's going on the injured list. It doesn't look like it's going to be anything crazy. He should be ready for the playoffs, but that definitely takes away from their starting pitching rotation. But even so, it kind of feels like it doesn't matter with this team. This team really steps it up offensively. They've got a lot of depth at the starting pitching position. And then, of course, their relief pitching is great as well. And they've just been the standout American League team all season long. So there's really no reason to believe that even though McClanahan's had a fantastic season, that it's really going to hinder them at all. I mean, it doesn't feel like any American League team is really willing to step up and take over the top spot in the Rays. Just keep on, even when they slump, they come right back at it and continue to take that top spot. And they've maintained it for quite some time. I mean, it's actually quite shocking. The Rays have spent the majority of the season as the American League East leader. They've been the number one seed pretty much for the majority of this season. So it's kind of shocking to see that. And even so, here they still are. And I don't really expect McClanahan to be a big deal, but he has been a top-notch pitcher all season. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 80-63. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they split the series with the Arizona Diamondbacks and then lost the series to the Atlanta Braves. And that's really just kind of the thing with the Phillies is they are a really good team, but then they come out the gate and then lose to the Braves, which they really needed to get this win against the Braves. And it just kind of shows that they are a good team, and I feel like anything could happen in the playoffs, especially in the National League. I mean, really in the American League, too, but it just feels like the National League, every team in the National League that's a playoff contender has a lot of depth at every position, and it's just going to be interesting to see what happens in a seven-game series. So, I mean, the Phillies, of course, could come out on top, but I mean, when you're looking at the regular season and they go up against the Braves and it's like you're expecting them to kind of really show out and the Braves actually just completely dominated the series over the weekend. But even so, Schwarber, he's got 42 home runs on the season. So once again, he's having a great year leading the league in home runs. Aaron Nola is really starting to get going here over the last month-ish of baseball for him has been really solid. But even so, this regular season run, every time they kind of get going and trying to catch up to the Braves, they just continue to fall short. Then at number six on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the New York Yankees. Overall record of 81-62. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Los Angeles Angels and lost the series to the San Diego Padres. Good news for them is it looks like they're getting Aaron Judge back this week, and they really could use him. Cody Bellinger, since he came back from the injured list, he's really been hitting that out of the park and really contributing big offensively. Austin Wells has been pretty solid since he came back from the injured list as well, and so now here we get Judge back. Unfortunately, Grisham, he's been put on the injured list, and it looks like he could potentially miss the rest of the season. Even the playoffs are kind of iffy for him right now. That's how bad his it's a hamstring injury, so that's a big deal when you're playing baseball. But even so, Aaron Judge coming back, that's a big deal. Even if he's not hitting it out of the park, his presence at the plate does make a difference because you are going to have to question whether or not you're going to walk him, whether or not you're going to put him on base, or whether you're going to pitch to him and see if he is the Aaron Judge of old. I mean, so even so, great news for them. Max Fried's back. Garrett Cole, he did get blown up over the weekend, but he's had his moments as well. And the Yankees are the second best team in the American League. So they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be there. Who cares if they win their division, but they definitely need Aaron Judge back. Then at number seven on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Houston Astros. Overall record of 73-71. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Chicago White Sox, but lost the series to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And of course, it's just a triple crown watch for Yordan Alvarez. And he currently leads all categories in the American League right now with a .314 batting average, 38 home runs, and 95 RBI overall. So he is still in line for that American League triple crown. And like I continue to say with the Astros, I just kind of feel like they're that team you really do have to watch out for once the playoffs roll around because they know how to win come playoff time. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Chicago White Sox, overall record of 75 and 68. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Houston Astros, but then took the series over the Minnesota Twins. Got a lot of offensive production this week out of their young guys, Teal and Antonacci. And like I continue to say about the Chicago White Sox, it feels like every time we're talking about them, we're talking about a couple of different guys stepping it up each and every week. And they just are such a really good team to watch. They continue to dominate their division. It looks like they are well on their way to winning this division. Just kind of feels like every time Cleveland gets going, they start to fall back. And the White Sox, they just really have maintained their play all season long. They've been winning in so many different ways. Their starting pitching's been solid. And then when their pitching's not solid, the offense tends to step it up. They're really solid defensively. Like I keep saying, a new guy is stepping it up every week. So this Chicago White Sox team, I just really like them a lot, and it's been nice to see the quick turnaround that this team has had since they were the worst team the last, like, 3 seasons of baseball. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the Boston Red Sox, overall record of 79-65. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Seattle Mariners, but took the series over the Baltimore Orioles. And another guy I'm just really loving this season is their rookie pitcher, Peyton Tolley. I mean, this guy, he is a strikeout king. He had 12 strikeouts over the weekend, 6 innings pitched against Baltimore, and I mean, he's just been killing it. And then Aroldis Chapman, he got his 400th save, career save, over the weekend. So it's kind of crazy to watch this guy. I mean, he still is striking them out, still as solid as ever, even though he's been a journeyman over the years. And it kind of feels like the last couple of seasons, it kind of felt like we were watching him just kind of fade away, and he's really stepped it up, especially this last season. He's been real solid for the Red Sox. So Red Sox looking, they're still maintaining. It looks like they're definitely going to be the second wild card team out there. I kind of just feel like if the Yankees and Red Sox just maintain their wins, those two are automatically getting those first 2 wild card spots, and it's just going to be that last wild card spot that is up for grabs in the American League. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week at the Chicago Cubs, overall record of 81-63. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Milwaukee Brewers, but then took the series over the Miami Marlins. And it's just all about PCA with this team. He hit his 40th home run over the weekend. And this is insane to say because the Chicago Cubs are one of the most historically great teams of all time. And he is the first Cub ever to have 40 home runs and 30 stolen bases in a season. He's on track to have a 40-40 season. So not only would he be the first Cub to do that, but I mean, that's a crazy feat to just to achieve regardless in just Major League Baseball standards. But I mean, he is just pulling away with this MVP race. I mean, I've felt he was the MVP for about the last month of the season. And now with the 40 home runs, potentially getting 40 stolen bases when it's all said and done, I kind of feel like he's really locked in that MVP for the National League this year. All right, so we get to talk about football. We get to talk about NFL football because it begins this week on Wednesday. The reason why it begins on Wednesday is because, the Super Bowl champion always opens the season in their home. And this year is the first year that the NFL is going to be playing in Australia. And if you're playing in Australia, it actually makes 100% sense to have the game on Thursday, to have the teams head out just because of the extreme time difference. So this week we have games beginning on Wednesday and Thursday because of that. So let's start with the Wednesday opening night game is going to be the Super Bowl rematch from last year. New England Patriots at the Seattle Seahawks. Currently the Seahawks are a 3.5-point favorite in this one. And the thing about week one is you never know what's going to happen. I mean, every one of these games is a crapshoot because anything can happen. Any one of these teams can look like they're going to suck. Any one of these teams can lay an egg. Any one of these teams that is going to be terrible just gets their one win of the season in week one. So, and that's happened a lot. So you just really never know which way to go. So you kind of just have to just base it off of last season. And so for me, I just look at it as this is the Seahawks home opener. They're dropping their banner because they won the Super Bowl last year. And I just kind of feel like they're going to be feeling themselves. So I'm just leaning towards Seattle winning this one 23-17. I feel like it's going to be a close game, probably a sloppy game, because that's another thing about the first month of football is usually very sloppy. You don't see teams really putting it together until the first month of football, because everybody's just working it out right now and still kind of getting their play calling together, really starting to get in sync with each other. You really don't get things going until until week five, basically. But so I wouldn't be shocked if New England comes in and wins, but I'm going with Seattle simply because they're at home, simply because they're dropping their banner, and that's just about all I have on that one. Then Thursday night football in Australia is going to be the San Francisco 49ers versus the Los Angeles Rams. This is always a good matchup. Right now, the Rams are a 3.5-point favorite in this one. So we get to see the debut of Myles Garrett in the Los Angeles Rams uniform. We don't know if Aaron Donald's going to be playing in this one. I would assume he's going to, but at the same time, he didn't really practice a lot in preseason and in training camp. But at the same time, I would expect, since this dude is coming back, he probably has been doing his off-season regimen on the off chance he comes back. So I wouldn't be shocked if he plays. Now, looking at the San Francisco 49ers, it looks like George Kittle is going to play because he's actually been practicing. But Christian McCaffrey and Bosa have not been practicing this week. So it's questionable if those two are going to be playing. Now, since they made the trip, I would imagine that there's a chance that they're going to play. But it's just kind of shocking that the two of them are not practicing. With that being said, I think with the injuries with the 49ers that they have, I mean, the Rams are returning all of their solid offensive players. Looks like Puka Nacua is going to be playing, and even if he wasn't, they still have Davante Adams, Kyren Williams. They're stacked on the offensive side of the ball. They're stacked on the defensive side of the ball. As I've said, I feel like the Rams are going to be one of the top teams in the league. And with the Niners' injuries, and they did lose some good key players in the offseason, I'm leaning towards the Rams in this one, not in a runaway, A, because it's week one, and two, because these two teams always play each other great. I've got the Rams winning 24-21. Now, since we are talking about NFL football, I've gone through all of my predictions on the season through each division and who I think is going to win each division. So now let's get into my postseason predictions and who I ultimately believe is going to be the Super Bowl 61 champ when it's all said and done. So let's go back over who I believe is going to go to the playoffs in the NFC. I've got my number one overall seed being the Los Angeles Rams. I have them winning the NFC West. I feel like they're going to be the best team. Even if Aaron Donald didn't come back, I still expected them to be one of the top teams in the league this year. Matthew Stafford's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league. He's always solid. He's always reliable and just a great, solid veteran to have. Then you've got Davante Adams, one of the top receivers in the league. Puka Nacua, one of the top receivers in the league. Then you got Kyren Williams, who's just a really solid running back. They've got a really solid offensive line. And then the addition of Myles Garrett, of course, just puts them over the edge. I mean, they had a good defense last year, but now I think they have a great defense. And then you add in Aaron Donald. Who knows what type of Aaron Donald we're going to get? I don't expect him to be the most dominating defender out there, but at the same time, he's one of the greatest defensive tackles ever. So I expect him to still be a good player. I expect it to take him maybe a little bit of time for him to get back to the Aaron Donald of old, but even so, I think the Rams are going to be one of the best teams in the league, and I have them being the number one overall seed in the NFC. Number two overall seed, I have Dallas Cowboys. I think they're going to dominate their division. I think they have a really solid team. They're going to be another team that's explosive on offense. You know, they got CeeDee on one side, you got George Pickens, you got Ferguson, you got Javonte Williams back there at running back, and then a solid offensive line with another year under Dak Prescott, who I just think is going to excel once again. And then it's the defensive side of the ball. They've made a ton of improvements on the defensive side of the ball, and I just think, you know, a full solid year with Quinnen Williams at the defensive tackle position. You've got Overshown, who this year is not coming off of an injury like he was last year. I think he's going to excel this year. And then I just think the secondary, it's better. I think if they were to make one more move, at this point in the season, maybe for like a Christian Gonzalez, who's not happy in New England right now, maybe him, Max Crosby, of course, or even just a couple of other guys. I wouldn't be shocked if they did end up tweaking the defense a little bit. But even so, I've liked what I've seen from them, and I think the Cowboys are going to be one of the top teams in the league this year. Finishing in with the number three overall seed in the NFC, I've got the Chicago Bears. I just think they're going to excel this year as well. I think they're going to be in a kind of weak division. I think they're only going to be battling it out really with the Packers potentially. But even so, I mean, you look at the Packers and they've got the issues with Josh Jacobs, and I think that's going to be a problem at least until they figure out what's going to happen with him, because he's a huge offensive force for the Packers. So I just think the Bears are going to get better offensively and defensively and just be an overall better team. So I have them winning their division. And then finishing in fourth place with the number four overall seed, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have them taking their division, just edging out the Panthers. I wouldn't be shocked if the Panthers did win their division, but I just kind of trust the Buccaneers more than I trust the Panthers. I'm going to have to see the Panthers to see what they could do to really believe in them over the Buccaneers. And then, like I said about Baker Mayfield, he's playing for a contract this year. And, you know, Baker Mayfield always plays out of his mind, so I can imagine what he's going to be like in a contract year trying to prove to the league, no matter who, whether it's he re-signs with the Bucs next year or if he gets a contract elsewhere, he's going to want to show out. So I just kind of feel like the Buccaneers are going to get the better of the Panthers in their division this year. And then so my wild card teams in the NFC, number five overall seed I have is the Green Bay Packers. I think they're a good team. It's just, like I said, the questions about Josh Jacobs, because he's a huge part of their offense and a huge part of why they were good last year, or why they've been dynamic on the offensive side of the ball, is because of him. Because, I mean, really, their receivers, they don't really have a number one guy. And so that's kind of my thing with the Packers. And then, of course, on the defensive side of the ball, really solid defensively, but Micah Parsons is going to be out for at least the first month of football, coming back from an ACL injury. And even when he comes back, it's going to take him a minute to get back at it. So I just kind of feel like the Packers are going to be like a second half team, probably start the first half of the season off shaky, maybe kind of like 500 football, and then kind of maybe make a run towards the second half of the season. Then finishing in sixth place, I have the Seattle Seahawks. I don't really look at them as a very dynamic offense. I wouldn't be shocked if they suffer some type of Super Bowl hangover. They did lose Kenny Walker III at running back, so there's a lot of questions at running back. They already have started the season with a ton of injuries as well, so I kind of look at them as the same thing with the Packers, where they might start off kind of cold the first half of the season and then get it going the second half of the season. And then rounding out the NFC, nabbing that last wild card spot, the number seven seed, I have the Carolina Panthers. Like I said, I feel like I like them defensively. It's just I have a lot of questions offensively. Is Bryce Young a consistent quarterback? We haven't really seen that just yet. We've seen him light it up. We've seen him have some really solid games. We've even seen him have a really big comebacks last year. But can he really lead a squad consistently? We haven't seen that yet. So until I see that, I really can't believe in them. It's just because there's a lot of questions offensively. And then, like I said, they lost Rico Dowdle in the offseason as well, who was a big part of their little run that they made towards the end of the season last year. So I kind of think that might take a chunk out of their offense, but who knows? We'll see. But I do have them nabbing that last wild card spot. And then in the AFC, my number one overall seed I have is the Buffalo Bills. Not because I think they're really the best team, but I think it's more they're in a terrible division. And I feel like their only competition in their division is going to be the Patriots. And I feel like they're going to get four easy wins, two against the Dolphins and then two against the Jets. So right there gives them four wins. I wouldn't be shocked if they at least get one win over the Patriots. So that's like five wins there. So I kind of feel like a lot of their wins are going to be stacked up against crap teams. Don't get me wrong, I think Josh Allen's an excellent quarterback, but I other than that, I don't really look at the squad as being that fantastic, but I just feel like they're going to have a decent record because of their terrible division. My number two overall seed I have is the Denver Broncos. And the reason why I have them at number two is because I think their division actually is going to be pretty good. You got the Chargers, you got the Chiefs, and you got the Raiders, but it's just like, I feel like the Broncos and the Chargers are going to be beating up on each other. And then I don't really have any faith in the Chiefs this year, but they still could get some solid wins and against their division. And so I just feel like it's going to be the Broncos are going to lose a couple of games, a game or two less than the Bills simply because their schedule is a little bit harder. They're in a little bit better or a stronger division, and it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them to get a number one overall seed. So, but even so, I feel like the Broncos are going to excel in another year under Sean Payton. I feel like even though Bo Nix is coming off of an injury, he should be fine. I mean, this is not the first time in his entire career, including college, where he's coming off of a debilitating injury. So I have the Broncos as the number two overall seed. Number three overall seed in the AFC, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers because I just kind of feel like their division is a crapshoot. And when I look at it, this is the most, I'd say the roster I trust the most. You know, you got Mike McCarthy in his first year as coach. You got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. You got DK Metcalf at wide receiver. They did pick up Rico Dowdle in the offseason, so you got the him and Warren in the backfield. So I think they've got a pretty decent offense, enough to get the job done. And then defensively, I expect them to be one of the best in the league. So I just look at them as the overall most trustworthy in their division. And then the last division winner I have coming in fourth place in the AFC, I have the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think their division's also a crapshoot. I feel like them, the Houston, or the Colts could end up winning this division. But at the same time, I don't know who I trust the most. And I look at it and I feel like maybe the Jaguars, simply because they have a really stout defense. Trevor Lawrence has seemed to progress well under this coaching staff. So hopefully he kind of progresses one more year, even though we really haven't seen that yet, because there are a lot of questions for them offensively. They don't really have a number one go-to receiver. So we'll see what happens there. But I have them winning their division simply because I trust them the most. And then in the wild card spots in the AFC, the number five overall seed I have is the Los Angeles Chargers. Just because I don't trust them as much as I trust Denver. I do expect them to get better this year, but there's a lot of questions at the running back position. I even have questions at the wide receiver position past Ladd McConkey. They don't really have. I mean, Quentin Johnston, he's a good receiver, but he's kind of an up and down receiver. So we'll see if he's able to show some consistency this year. But I do have them taking one of the wild card spots. Then finishing in sixth place, I have the Houston Texans. I have a lot of questions with them on the offensive side of the ball because I don't know if C.J. Stroud could really carry a team. And their wide receiver room is completely decimated by injuries. And then the running back position, I don't know if Montgomery is going to be the answer. I mean, he's a really solid goal line running back, but I don't know if he's going to help them out much in like chunk yardage plays. But even so, they're in a weak division. I feel like they could get some easy wins. And then they do have a really stout defense. I mean, they've just got really major stars on the defensive side of the ball. And I just really like what I see from them and defensively. I mean, they've really just killed it the last couple of years defensively. And they haven't really taken a step back defensively. So I just kind of really expect them to be a defensive-led team and get a couple of good wins because they're in a terrible division. And then rounding out the AFC wild card, nabbing the last spot at the number seven spot, I have the New England Patriots. I don't know how I feel about the Patriots. I mean, I feel like they're going to suffer a Super Bowl hangover this year. But at the same time, the AFC doesn't have a lot going on, so I feel like they could potentially grab one of those last spots. But I don't think it's going to be really a standout year for the New England Patriots like it was last year. So my wild card matchups I have in the NFC is Carolina Panthers versus the Dallas Cowboys. I, of course, have the Cowboys winning that one. Then I have the Seattle Seahawks versus the Chicago Bears. I have the Bears winning that one. And then the Green Bay Packers versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I went with the Green Bay Packers in that matchup. And then my AFC wild card matchups are the New England Patriots versus the Denver Broncos. I'm taking the Broncos in that matchup. Houston Texans versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. I have the Steelers winning that matchup. And then my last wild card matchup in the AFC, I have the Los Angeles Chargers versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I have the Jaguars moving on in that matchup. So my NFC divisional matchups, I have Green Bay Packers versus the Los Angeles Rams. I've got the Rams winning that matchup. And then I have the Chicago Bears versus the Dallas Cowboys, and the Cowboys winning that matchup. Then my AFC divisional matchups are the Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Buffalo Bills. I have the Bills winning that matchup. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Denver Broncos. I have the Broncos winning that matchup. So my NFC Conference Championship matchup is the Dallas Cowboys versus the Los Angeles Rams. I, of course, have my Cowboys winning that matchup. And then my AFC Conference Championship matchup is the Denver Broncos versus the Buffalo Bills. I have the Denver Broncos winning that matchup. So my Super Bowl 61 prediction is the Dallas Cowboys versus the Denver Broncos. In Super Bowl 61 this year is in Los Angeles. So that is my matchup. Who do you think I have winning the Super Bowl this year? Of course, if I have my Cowboys in the Super Bowl, of course, I'm taking them to win it all because, like I said, it's been a great offseason for the Cowboys. No drama. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from this offense. They've got a really solid roster. I like the changes they made on the defensive side of the ball, and I just kind of feel like it's going to be one of those years that the Cowboys are going to win it all. So I've got my Super Bowl 61 matchup as Dallas Cowboys versus the Denver Broncos with my Dallas Cowboys as the Super Bowl 61 champs. But we have us a long way till we get there. Next week, we'll start three shows a week where I will have a show on Monday, do the NFL Power Rankings show on Wednesday, and then, of course, my Friday shows. But NFL kicks off on Wednesday, and then we've got the Australia game on Thursday. So enjoy the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.